How safe is the notion of constitutional freedom in Canada today?
It's in decline, and it's likely to get worse. The trends are not encouraging. When you've got two-thirds of the lawyers in BC voting to attack the fundamental charter freedoms of evangelical Christians in general, and Trinity Western in particular, that's a sad state of affairs. When you've got laws in Alberta that require every school to set up a homosexual club known as a gay-straight alliance that is advocating a message contrary to the Catholic, evangelical, Jewish, Muslim schools that are required to have these clubs, that's a profound violation of parental rights.
On the feature this week, an interview with John Carpe, the lead lawyer for the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Calgary. In the news, Christian schools in Alberta are under the gun again with a Freedom of Information request demanding that all of their anti-bullying policies be publicly released. ARPA's full-length documentary on euthanasia has now been put online, and ARPA's Bible Project is fully funded with a surprising bonus.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The Alberta government is poised to release a list of anti-bullying policies submitted by private and Christian schools last year in response to Bill 10. And the umbrella group representing those schools is opposing that release. Ed Hogerdyke is the principal of Tyndale Christian School in Calgary. He says the Freedom of Information request for the policies is premature because more than a year after the policies were submitted to Alberta Education, there's been no response yet as to whether any of them need to be amended.
We're about 1 year after the original deadline to submit our safe, caring, and inclusive school policies. So this deadline was back in March of 2016. We were supposed to receive a response from Alberta Education by June of 2017, and we actually have heard nothing since. About a year later, in March 2017, independent schools found out that an applicant had submitted a request to the FOIP Department of Alberta Education requesting access to schools' safe, caring, and inclusive school policies. And so the response from independent schools was that we felt that these policies should not be disclosed to anybody for a number of reasons, but the main one that we had not received an official review of the policies from Alberta Ed. So therefore, we felt that they should not be released.
Hogerdyke says one thing is clear. The independent schools are, by and large, doing a very good job of creating supportive and inclusive environments for all of their students.
We have to submit what's called an annual education results report. There's surveys that students fill in and that parents fill in, and many, many schools, including our school, have a rating, if that's what you want to call it, of 95% to even 100% of parents and students stating that the school is a very safe, caring, and inclusive school. So this is a bit of a head-scratcher here. You know, we really don't know why they're pressing this issue, other than the fact that there could be some sort of an underlying tone here.
So why shouldn't the policies be released? Hogerdyke says the concern is that they'll be taken out of context.
I think what we have here is a potential for media and public scrutiny of the policies of private schools, and of course specifically Christian schools, that I don't really think would be a good thing. What you could have is an unfair label of a Christian school just based on one person or a group reading a few pages, and I think this could turn out to be a real serious issue.
The Association of Independent Schools and Colleges in Alberta is still formulating a strategy as to how member schools can specifically oppose the release of their individual policies. ARPA has now released a full-length version of its Ending Suffering, the Palliative Care Alternative video. Over the past year, 12 individual videos have been posted online, and now those snippets have been consolidated into a single full-length feature. Grassroots manager Colin Postma says the whole video project was conceived more than a year ago, just ahead of the 2016 annual fall tour.
The background story to this is that at last year's fall tour, Andre and I put together this crazy plan to film this whole thing. It's a series of 12 individual interviews over a period of basically 2 weeks. While we were doing our fall tour last year, doing our school speaking engagements, our evening presentations, pretty much on every single weeknight, we managed to cram these interviews in during the day. And so it was a huge project, a really big project. Tons of work went into that. But we're pretty excited with the result that's come of that.
So who should be watching this new video?
It's ideally something you could watch together with your family, you know, with your kids. You can explain to them what the current situation in Canada is and even why people should reconsider this idea that there is in public culture of euthanasia as the only so-called compassionate option. You can take this to your young people's events at church or civics or health classes at high schools. A number of our ARPA chapters have done video screenings over the past couple of years, you know, like Over 18, the Hush documentary, Red Light, Green Light documentaries, those kinds of things. And ideally, this would be another one of those documentaries that we could add to the list of documentaries to screen.
The production is just under an hour long. It's available online at the ARPA YouTube channel. We've got a link up at the Lighthouse News homepage. DVDs are also being sent out this fall to regular ARPA donors. And finally, ARPA's Bible Project is almost complete. The organization sending out more than 1,200 Bibles to elected officials across the country. Those Bibles, in both French and English, are being mailed to every MP, senator, and provincial politician in Canada. The project is in commemoration of Canada's 150th birthday and the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. ARPA Executive Director Mark Penninga says when the final touches were being put to the distribution of the Bibles, there was a very pleasant surprise from Crossway Publishers in Chicago.
We've been working with an absolutely fantastic organization based out of Ontario. They're the distributor for Crossway in Canada. And when they saw what we're doing, word spread down to the United States, to Crossway there. And they were so excited about it that they decided to approach us and say, you know what? The Bible that you're giving, it's a good Bible. It's a quality Bible. But we want you to be giving an even better Bible. Something with a genuine leather cover, a nice stitched binding. Something that looks and feels like a beautiful Bible. And so they approached us and said that they would do that at their own cost, at the same cost that they originally quoted us for those much more inexpensive Bibles.
As to funding, the whole thing cost $20,000. All that money has been fully raised. Penninga says there were some big donors, and also some small but very significant ones.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty inspiring when you hear about some young children, like age 4 to 9, who approach their parents with their piggy bank in hand, with the savings that they've been working hard for the last few months, with something else in mind, and they just say, you know what, Mom and Dad, we heard about the Bible project that ARPA's doing. We'd like to give the money that we've earned for that. And the parents said to those kids, are you sure? Do you realize you don't need to give all of that? You've worked long and hard. And the kids said, of course we're sure. We want to give it all. So encouraging to see that. And alongside them, many other donors.
The Bibles are slated to be delivered by the end of this month. Back with more after this.
This year on our fall tour, we released our 12-step action plan. The goal with this plan is that by next fall, just 1 year from now, literally hundreds or even thousands of us will have built or continued building a respectful relationship with one government official. That's over a 12-month period with a progression of steps. This month's goal, October, is to research and figure out who your representatives are, your MLA, your MPP, your MP, and choose who the individual is that you want to focus your 12-step action plan on.
And we're back on the program. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. It's a Calgary-based organization that's primarily involved in legal cases involving, as the name implies, the protection of constitutional freedoms in Canada. The group has fought alongside ARPA on some major court battles, everything from the Loyola case involving religious freedoms and education to the Carter case on euthanasia and, most recently, the Trinity Western case. But the group also fights a number of other battles. It has represented pro-life campus clubs when their free speech rights were infringed. And it's even in court fighting over license plates. Most famously, a case involving a man named Lorne Grabher, who had a personalized license plate that was deemed offensive by the Nova Scotia Motor Vehicles Department. Last weekend, I had an opportunity to listen to John Carpe, the president of the center, speaking to a group of social conservatives on Vancouver Island. One of the things he talked about was the tension that exists between the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and so-called human rights codes in various provinces. I had a chance to pull him aside for an interview at the event, and we started our discussion there.
One of the things that struck me about the presentation this morning, you identified the tension between the foundation of freedom and the imposed speech that comes with human rights legislation. Talk to me about that tension.
Well, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Section 2, protects the freedoms of conscience, religion, expression, association, peaceful assembly. And when human rights legislation was brought in the 1960s, it was sold as an anti-racism thing, and it was put to the public as, you know, surely you don't think it's right if a landlord refuses to rent out an apartment to a black guy, or, you know, surely you disagree with a woman not getting promoted in the workplace just because she's a woman. And most people thought, yeah, okay, you know, that kind of bigotry, we should legislate against bigotry. Okay, fair enough. Fast forward 40 years, and now you've got sexual orientation and gender identity, and this legislation is now being used to attack freedom of speech and freedom of religion. It always did attack freedom of association. I mean, freedom of association is the right to associate or not associate as you see fit. So that was always been under attack. But the early legislation initially, it didn't attack freedom of expression and freedom of religion the way that it does now. So we're stuck with it unless and until enough Canadians properly appreciate the charter freedoms and decide that honoring the charter freedoms is more important than preventing hurt feelings.
What's the state? I mean, your organization is called the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom. What's the state of constitutional freedoms in Canada today, generally?
It's in decline, and it's likely to get worse in the short term, but I make no predictions about the long term.
But that was going to be my next question. Where are we going?
Well, you know, the trends are not encouraging. When you've got two-thirds of the lawyers in BC voting to attack the fundamental charter freedoms of evangelical Christians in general and Trinity Western in particular, that's a sad state of affairs. When you've got laws in Alberta that require every school to set up a homosexual club known as a gay-straight alliance that is advocating a message contrary to the Catholic, evangelical, Jewish, Muslim schools that are required to have these clubs, that's a profound violation of parental rights. When you get laws passed like that, we're not in good shape. But again, the long-term future, nobody can predict.
One of the things that intrigues me about your organization, I get all your press releases. You fight the big battles and you fight the not-so-big battles. I'm thinking of the grab her license plate thing. I look at that and go, is that a hill to die on, John?
Yes, it's a hill to die on because we lose our freedoms bit by bit. And so here's an example of a government body that is pandering to somebody who claims to feel offended. And that's the single biggest threat to freedom of expression in Canada today. It's this attitude or this belief that more and more people seem to have, that they have a right to go through life without seeing and hearing things that they find offensive. And so we want to nip this in the bud and aggressively confront it whenever we can. Anytime that somebody says, I feel offended, and government responds to that by silencing the speech, we want to get in there and say, no, government should uphold the free speech rights. They shouldn't pander to offended people.
I want to go back to the Trinity case because it's looming. I mean, the hearing is coming up in a little over a month. As you alluded to in your talk, there's a precedent for Trinity already with respect to the BC College of Teachers. And yet, in your address, you talk about only a 50-50 chance that the Supreme Court is going to uphold its own precedent. What's changed?
Well, the Supreme Court demonstrated in its euthanasia ruling, the Carter decision, which came out in early 2016, the Supreme Court of Canada demonstrated that it's perfectly willing to overturn clear precedent that they had set in the Rodriguez case. In Rodriguez, they said that the laws prohibiting assisted suicide are valid under the Constitution. And then they did a 180-degree reversal in the Carter case and said the laws that prohibit assisted suicide are not valid under the Constitution. So I'm not saying that the Supreme Court will never adhere to precedent. I think in most cases they would, but they don't necessarily. And they do like to pander to popular culture and popular trends. We saw this with the Supreme Court of Canada reversing the initial decision about interveners. Initially, the court said there's just, you know, a half dozen or so that we're letting in. And then there was a public outcry that LGBTQ organizations were being excluded, and the Supreme Court reversed itself and allowed in everybody. So, sadly, you cannot discount culture much as you would like to or want to.
Sure, we're out of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.